Day 108. Joshua 16:1 through 18:28. The allotment to the descendants of Joseph extended from the Jordan River near Jericho, east of the waters of Jericho, through the wilderness and into the wood country, into the hill country of Bethel. From Bethel it ran over to Ataroth in the territory of the Archites. Then it descended westward to the territory of the Japhletites as far as lower Beth Horon, then to Gezer, and on over to the Mediterranean Sea. The families of Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, received their inheritance. The following territory was given to the families of the tribe of Ephraim as their inheritance. The eastern boundary of their inheritance began at Ataroth Adar. From there it ran to upper Beth Horon, then on to the Mediterranean Sea. The northern boundary began at the Mediterranean, ran east past Michmethatheth, then curved eastward past Tanath Shiloh to the east of Jonah. From Jonah it turned southward to Ataroth and Nirar, touched Jericho, and ended at the Jordan River. From Tapu, the border extended westward, following the Kana Ravine to the Mediterranean Sea. This is the inheritance given to the families of the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim was also given some towns with surrounding villages in the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh. They did not drive the Canaanites out of Gezer, however, so the people of Gezer lived as slaves among the people of Ephraim to this day. Joshua 17. The next allotment of land was given to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph's older son. Gilead and Bashan on the east side of the Jordan had already been given to the family of Machir because he was the greatest warrior. Land on the west side of the Jordan was allotted to the remaining families within the tribe of Manasseh: Abizir, Helek, Ashriel, Shechem, Hefer, and Shemida. However, Zelophehad, son of Hephir, who was a descendant of Manasseh, Machir, and Gilead, had no sons. Instead, he had five daughters. Their names were Melee, Noah, Hoglah, Micaiah, and Tirzah. These women came to Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and Israelite leaders, and said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance along with the men of our tribe." So Joshua gave them an inheritance along with their uncles, as the Lord had commanded. As a result, Manasseh's inheritance came to 10 parcels of land, in addition to the land of Gilead and Bashan across from the Jordan River, because the female descendants of Manasseh received an inheritance along with the male descendants. The land of Gilead was given to the rest of the male descendants of Manasseh. The boundary of the tribe of Manasseh extended from the border of to Michmethath, which is east of Shechem. Then the border went south from Michmethath to the people living near the spring of Tupa. The land surrounding Tupa belonged to Manasseh, but the town of Tupa, on the border of Manasseh's territory, belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. From the spring of Tepla, the border of Manasseh followed the northern side of the Kana Ravine to the Mediterranean Sea. Several towns in Manasseh's territory belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. The land south of the ravine belonged to Ephraim, and the land north of the ravine belonged to Manasseh, with the Mediterranean Sea forming Manasseh's western border. North of Manasseh was the territory of Asher, and to the east of the territory was Issachar. The following towns within the territory of Issachar and Asher were given to Manasseh: Beth Shan, Iblim, Dor, Endor, Tanakh, and Megiddo, with their representative villages. But the descendants of Manasseh were unable to occupy these towns. They could not drive out the Canaanites, who continued to live there. Later on, however, when the Israelites became strong enough, they forced the Canaanites to work as slaves. but they did not drive them out of the land. The descendants of the descendants of Joseph came to Joshua and asked, "Why have you given us only one portion of land when the Lord has given us so many people?" Joshua replied, "If the hill country of Ephraim is not large enough for you, clear out land yourselves in the forest where the Perizzites and Raphaites live." They said, "The hill country is not enough for us, and the Canaanites in the lower lands around Beth Shan in the valley of Jezreel have iron chariots. They are too strong for us." Then Joshua said to the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph, "Since you are so large and strong, you will be given more than one portion. The forest of the hill country will be yours as well. Clear as much land as you wish and live there. And I am sure you can drive out the Canaanites from the valleys too, even though they are strong and have iron chariots." Joshua 18. Now that the land was under Israelite control, the entire Israelite assembly gathered at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle. But there remained seven tribes who had not yet been allotted their inheritance. Then Joshua asked them, "How long are you going to wait before taking possession of the remaining land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given to you? Select three men from each tribe, and I will send them out to survey the unconquered territory. They will return to me with a written report of their proposed divisions of the inheritance. The scouts will map the land into seven sections, excluding Judah's territory in the south and Joseph's territory in the north. Then I will cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord our God to decide which section will be assigned to each tribe. However, the Levites will not receive any land. Their role as priests of the Lord is their inheritance. And the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh won't receive any more land, for they have already received their inheritance, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them on the east side of the Jordan River." As the men who were mapping out the land started on their way, Joshua commanded them, "Go and survey the land. Then return to me with your written report, and I will assign the land to the tribes by casting sacred lots in the presence of the Lord here at Shiloh." The men did as they were told and mapped the entire territory into seven sections, listing the towns in each section. Then they returned to Joshua in the camp of Shiloh. There at Shiloh, Joshua cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord to determine which tribe should have each section. The first allotment of land went to the families of the tribe of Benjamin. It lay between the territory previously assigned to the tribes of Judah and Joseph. The northern boundary began at the Jordan River, went north of the slope of Jericho, then west through the hill country and the wilderness of Beth Aven. From there, the boundary went south to Luz, that is Bethel, and proceeded down to Adaroth Adar at the top of the hill south of lower Beth Haran. The boundary then ran south along the western edge of the hill facing Beth Haran, ending at the village of Kirith Baal, that is Kirith Jearim, one of the towns belonging to the tribe of Judah. This was the western boundary. The southern boundary began at the outskirts of Kirith Jearim. From there, it ran westward to the spring at the waters of Nephtol, and down to the base of the mountainside beside the valley of the Son of Hinnom, at the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. From there, it went down the valley of Hinnom, crossing south of the slope where the Jebusites lived, and continued down to En Rogel. From En Rogel, the boundary proceeded northeast to En Shemesh and on to Gilioth, which is across from the slopes of Adimmon. Then it went down to the stone of Bohan. Bohan was Reuben's son. From there, it passed along the north side of the slope overlooking the Jordan Valley. The border then went down into the valley, ran past the north slope of Beth Hogla, and ended at the north bay of the Dead Sea, which is the southern end of the Jordan River. The eastern boundary was the Jordan River. This was the inheritance for the families of the tribe of Benjamin. These were the towns given to the families of the tribe of Benjamin: Jericho, Beth Hogla, Emzek Keziz, Beth Araba, Zemarim, Bethel, Evim, Pera, Ophrah, Kephar Ammoni, Ophni, and Geba. 12 towns with their villages. Also, Gibeon, Ramah, Beeroth, Mezpah, Kephriah, Mozah, Rechem, Irpil, Terelah, Zelah, Helaph, Jabez, that is Jerusalem, Gibeah, and Kirath Jearim, 14 towns with their villages. This was the inheritance given to the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Luke 19, 1-27. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax-collecting business, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowds. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, so he could watch from there. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the crowds were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have overcharged people on their taxes, I will give them back 4 times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham, and I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those like him who are lost." The crowd was listening to everything Jesus said, and because he was near in Jerusalem, he told a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. He said, "A nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 servants and gave them 10 pounds of silver to invest for him while he was gone. But his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say they did not want him to be their king. When he returned, the king called in the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what they had done with the money and what their profits were. The first servant reported a tremendous gain, 10 times as much as the original amount. 'Well done,' the king exclaimed. 'You are a trustworthy servant, and you have been faithful with little that I entrusted to you. So you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward.' The next servant also reported a good gain, 5 times the original amount. 'Well done,' the king said. 'You can be governor over 5 cities. But the third servant came back with only the original amount of money and said, "I hid it and kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant." 'You wicked servant,' the king roared. 'Hard am I? If you knew so much about me and how tough I am, why didn't you deposit the money in a bank so I could at least get some interest on it?' Then turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, 'Take the money from this servant and give it to the one who earned the most.' 'But master,' they said, 'that servant already has enough.' 'Yes,' the king replied, 'but to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But for those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. And now about these enemies of mine, who didn't want me to be their king, bring them in and execute them right here in my presence.'" Psalm 87, 1-7. On the holy mountain stands a city founded by the Lord. He loves the city of Jerusalem more than any other city in Israel. O city of God, what glorious things are said of you! I will record Egypt and Babylon among those who knew me, also Philistia and Tyre, and even Dison, Ethiopia. They have all become citizens of Jerusalem, and it will be said of Jerusalem, "Everyone has become a citizen here," and the Most High will personally bless this city. When the Lord registers the nations, he will say, "This one has become a citizen of Jerusalem." And at all the festivals, the people will sing, "The source of my life is in Jerusalem." Proverbs 13, verse 11. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows.